All right, welcome to CBC Next, and I'm here with Pastor Steve Proctor once again, my father-in-law, and we're going to talk today about greed. I on purpose did not share the topic of the message today because that's one of these things that we're like, man, I don't have a problem with that. Maybe I'll skip and go to the lake this Sunday or something like that. And so that's what we talked about today. And I think if we're honest, though, we all have a tendency to you know, hold on to what's ours.
Well, you know, it's such a deceptive sin.
Yeah.
I remember hearing somewhere that in the 17th century, there was a famous Catholic priest by the name of LaSalle, later canonized and became a saint. And although we don't believe in confessing our sins to a priest, he did say something that was very insightful. He said that he had heard hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of confessions over the years. And he said, I've heard people confess every conceivable sin except greed and covetousness.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that would be a fun perspective to have.
He said, it's just something that people rarely see in themselves.
Right? Absolutely.
It's just such a deceptive sin.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is. And I think, you know, preaching it and talking about those things is really makes you really want to look at yourself and say, what am I doing? You
know? Exactly.
And hopefully all of us got a chance to really look in ourselves to see,
yes,
is there a problem inside me with holding on? We showed the monkey, you know, with the monkey trap putting your hand in and you can't get it back out. We used to have as kids, I'm sure you did too, those finger traps, where you put your fingers in and you can't pull them out. And sometimes we can hold on to that stuff so tightly, and it hurts us.
Oh, yeah. I've used that illustration about the monkey trap many times in the past, but I've never seen the video before you showed it. And it reminded me of something that Adrian Rogers said. I heard him say, he was preaching a sermon on giving, and he said that God never blesses a clenched fist. He blesses an open hand. And, you know, I think, as you mentioned in your message, I think our giving of our time, giving of our talent, giving of our treasure. It's a pretty good barometer. It's a pretty good indicator of whether or not we are truly struggling with greed or covetousness.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've you know, I've, as everybody does, as you kind of get older, sometimes you get more, you know, salary. I start off working at Chuck E. Cheese, you know, and I, but it does really feel that way where we, our spending grows to the amount of our salary,
you know?
And we don't often think, do I need to spend this more money? Or or is there a space here for me to be able to be a more generous person? And we always, you know, we had, the Powerball was real high this a couple weeks ago. And we all play that game where, what if I won that big amount of money? I'd give this and I'd give that. And, you know, some of us, that's what we're waiting on. To become generous is to win the lottery. And that's not really how it works, though.
But, you know, I think it was J.D. Rockefeller who said, I would never have given away millions if I hadn't tithed on my first $10.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, he learned very early on.
And
I think that's true. A lot of times, you know, I hear people say things like, you know, boy, if I had $1 million, you know what I'd do? And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, yeah, I do know what you'd do. You do exactly what you're doing with the $100 that you have right now. And it's because of the title of your series, Inside Out. You know, greed, like all the other sins you've been dealing with and all the other struggles you've been dealing with, greed, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of the heart. It's an inside job. And, you know, that's the reason that really the only cure for greed is number one, a commitment to Christ. Because only Christ can change our hearts. And if greed comes from the heart, I think it's in Mark chapter 7, maybe right around verse 21, where Jesus talked about how from the heart proceeds thefts, adulteries, fornications, and then he mentions covetousness, which is, of course, the first cousin to greed. And it is a condition of the heart. It flows from the heart. You know, if you see an apple with a wormhole in it, it's not because the worm's in it. It's because he bored his way out. You know, the worm was on the apple blossom in the spring of the year, and the apple formed around him, and after the apple formed, he bored his way out. And that's the way greed is. It doesn't bore its way in. It bores its way out. That's the way all sin is.
Right.
It doesn't bore its way in. It bores its way out. We're born with a sinful nature.
Yeah.
And greed is very much a matter of the heart.
Absolutely.
And so that's why you're titling this series.
Right.
Inside Out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it works. It works its way out.
But, you know, a commitment to Christ, he gives us a new heart. And then secondly, contentment in Christ. I found an interesting verse, knowing that we were going to meet today, in Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation, which is your lifestyle,
right,
let your conversation be without covetousness or greed. And then he says, and here's the rest of the verse, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that if you have Christ, you have everything.
Right.
If you have Christ, you have everything.
Right.
You ought to be able to be content, whether you have a lot, whether you have a little. The Apostle Paul said, whether I abound or whether I'm abased, you know, whether I'm clothed or whether I'm naked. Paul said, I have found to be content in whatever state I'm in.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's wrong to want to do better for your family.
Sure, right, absolutely.
But as you said, when we're blessed with more than we need, is our first thought to improve our lifestyle, to upgrade our lifestyle,
right,
or is our first thought, wow, now look how much more I can give?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lady speaking, and we mentioned the lottery. I just read yesterday that there's a lady in Virginia that won $150,000. And she gave it all away.
I heard about that.
And I have to imagine, now I don't know that this is true, but I have to imagine that wasn't the first time she gave.
No, there's no way.
She had to have made that a part of who she was.
Exactly.
She gave it to cancer research and feeding kids.
Yeah, three different charities. Yeah, I think she gave $50,000 to three different charities.
Yeah. And I really do feel like, I can't imagine that lady's just not overjoyed to have been able to give something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It brings so much more joy. And the opposite, I've noticed, takes place in the heart and in the life of a greedy person. They become a selfish miser that nobody wants to be around.
Right.
Because they're just, they always feel like they're being taken advantage of.
Right.
They always feel like somebody's trying to get their stuff.
Yeah.
They always feel like somebody is after them for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And they become paranoid, they become grouchy, they become, you know, selfishness and greed and covetousness. It just it turns us into a person that we don't want to be.
Right.
It turns us into somebody that nobody wants to be around.
You've been a pastor for, you know, decades, and I've done this for a few years too, and I'm sure we both have seen families where father, mother passes away, and then the brothers and sisters swoop in
and start fighting.
And it just tears a family apart.
Right.
Just many times over $50,000,
exactly,
you know, $10,000.
Right.
Small amounts when you think about.
And just tears them apart.
Right.
It's so sad when that happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a family in Missouri. That's exactly what happened. There was an inheritance, and these kids that normally got along, there was four of them, these kids that normally got along began to fight and to feud and to fuss, and all of them are professing Christians, and it was a terrible testimony, and it left a really bad taste in the mouths of a lot of people that knew that they were professing believers.
Right. Yeah, it's just so sad what greed can do to relationships.
It is.
And that's a big example, but there's so many small, everyday things that we could work on to change, and because that's where it happens. That's where life happens. It's in those small decisions to, you know, not worry about whether the person got an appetizer or not when we split the check, you know, or something like
that.
Just small little things that build up. Absolutely.
I also like what you said about how greed doesn't necessarily apply to just material things.
Right.
You know, you can be greedy or covetous of somebody else's talent.
Right.
You can be greedy or covetous of somebody else's recognition.
Absolutely, yeah.
If somebody is perceived by the world to be good looking or to be beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, you can be greedy or covetousness of the attention that they get because of that. I mean, it's not just limited to material things.
I find that there's a little just whisper of that when you see somebody that is good looking, or in my instance, maybe tall, you know, maybe I don't like that person, you know, without any right. any reason right. to. Right. And that's that greed sometimes that we don't, or covetousness or envy or all right. those things that are all wrapped up together.
They're all wrapped up together, all first cousins.
Yeah.
Greed, covetousness, envy. Mm-hmm. Phil, I can remember when I first started preaching, I was a very young preacher. And I can remember going to these Bible conferences where they'd bring in all these big name preachers. Mm-hmm. And I can remember telling Nancy that when I leave these conferences that are supposed to encourage me, I leave discouraged mm. because I find myself becoming envious of their talent and their ability to speak. Mm-hmm. And I find myself saying, I'll never be able to preach like that. Yeah, I'll right. never be able to hold a crowd like that. Mm-hmm. I'll never be able to minister the way that they can. And it was a glorious day when I finally realized that God hasn't called me to be them. Right. He's called me to be the best me yeah. that I can be.
Absolutely.
And when I began to thank God for their ability rather than to covet it, it was very freeing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's that living more with an open hand and saying, yeah. God, this is what I've got. The little boy's lunch, you know, this yeah. is what I've got. And the miracle is in what God does with it.
Right. Little as much when right. God is in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I could just share this, mm-hmm. many years ago, I was listening to a little cassette tape, and I'll be honest, I don't even know who the preacher was. Mm-hmm. If you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you who he was. But I remember he gave a devotion on this little cassette tape, and it stuck with me now for 40 years.
Wow.
And it was a devotion about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And he said that in this parable, we see three philosophies of life.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were the thieves that stole everything that the man had and left him for dead.
Right.
And he said, that's the philosophy of life that says what's yours is mine mm-hmm. and I'll take it if I can.
Yeah. Right.
Now that's greed and thievery.
Absolutely.
Then he said the priest and the Levite walked by and didn't stop to help. Mm. And he said, that's the philosophy of life which says what's mine is mine mm-hmm. and I'll mm-hmm. keep it if I can.
Yeah.
Right. That's greed and selfishness.
Yeah.
But then he said the Good Samaritan, which not only met the man's present needs, but his future needs as well.
Right, yeah.
He said that's the philosophy of life that says what's mine is yours, and you can have it if you need it.
Wow.
So what's yours is mine, I'll take it if I can. What's mine is mine, I'll keep it if I can.
Right.
What's mine is yours, and you can have it if you need it. And that challenged me because I was a young man when I heard that, and I thought, that's the way I want to live.
Right.
By God's grace. Not that I've achieved it
sure, right.
in every situation, because right. I have, and I've mm-hmm. failed many times. But I want to live by the philosophy that what's mine is yours, and you can have it if you need it. Mm-hmm. Because I noticed that the people in our church that lived by that philosophy of life happiest,
yeah, right.
most
yeah.
joyful people right. that I knew.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the amazing thing about God is that it's not just what he wants us to do. It's always what's best for us.
Yes.
And he doesn't cause us to you know, jump just for his pleasure or things like that. It's always what's best for us.
Yes.
And we've seen this in scripture. Better to give than receive, and God loves a cheerful giver, and all these blessings that come with living with an open hand.
Amen. Amen. And so much, and it is so much more joyful to live with an open hand rather than with a clenched fist, because ultimately, as you said in your message, we can't take it with us anyway.
Right.
Eventually, every material thing that we have is going to belong to mm-hmm. someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's
so why not hold it loosely? To
right.
quote the old classic rock song,
yeah.
why not hold on loosely right now?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and just live with the attitude. And I think something else that you said, I think if people could get a hold of that one truth, it would completely change their perspective towards finances or material things. And that is what you said about it all belonging to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we have belongs to God.
Right.
You know, I'm blessed to have a home that's paid for,
yeah.
but it belongs to God.
Right.
You know, I'm blessed to have vehicles, but I want to use them for God's glory.
Right.
You know, whatever I have, mm-hmm. everything that I have, I want to have that mindset
yeah.
that it all belongs to God. He can ask for any of it or all of mm-hmm. it anytime he wants to.
Right. Yeah. Tori and I have had that conversation before. Is like, okay, we're doing good. You know, we think we have our finances under control. How can we stretch ourselves a little bit more to take that next step to be mm-hmm. more of a giver? And I think we ought to have those conversations
Amen.
Often of of how we can do that. And not just, you know, like we've talked about, not just with our time, not just with our money, right, but also with our time and attention.
It's amazing how few young people these days have any margin in their budget whatsoever.
Yeah,
right. You used the word margin this morning. They've got everything stretched to the very limit so that if anything comes up, they're in trouble. Then not only do they not have it, but they have to use the credit card.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no margin. I was counseling with a young couple one day, and they were arguing about money and didn't have enough money. And preacher, will you help us? So I sat down and I asked him, well, what is your monthly outgo? They didn't know. They'd never put it on paper.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's put down on paper what you know you're going to pay every month.
Right.
So we put it down. Now, this didn't include any extras at all. If they if they needed tires, that was not included.
Right.
You know, if they needed brakes on the car, if the kids needed, none of that was, the kids need to go to the dentist.
Right.
It was just, this is what's going out every month, regardless.
Right.
Then we listed their income, and when we subtracted the two, there was $8 left.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, I said, you do realize you're arguing over $8. I said, you're only... dispensable income is $8. And I said, you know, obviously there's no margin here.
Right.
You know, you're going to either have to increase your income or you're going to have to decrease your outgo.
Right.
You know, and I think one of the reasons people don't give generously to the Lord's work is because of that very reason right there.
Yeah.
There's no margin there.
Absolutely. And you know this, you've seen the advent of, youth sports over the course of your ministry, where all of a sudden they used to practice twice a week and now they're every day and Sunday, you know, they're and the same thing is with our tithe, that sometimes Noah and our family have had to say that sport's going to take up too much of our time. We're going to have no room for each other or anything else that we were able to youth group's going to be hard. You know, those different, sometimes we've got to make those type of decisions as well, as I only have one life. And I only have 24 hours in a day. And so if I'm going to be able to work and do things for other people outside of myself, then I have to leave margin in my time as well. And so, yeah, that's a great lesson to learn, is how can we look for those margins and increase or decrease our what we're putting out. So that we would have more time, more finances,
more to give,
be more generous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One more thing. Did you ever, I'm real famous for saying one more thing.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher say one time, and in closing, and he closed about five times, but in closing, did you ever stop to think that, and I think I heard Jerry Vines teach on this many years ago, that if you look at the Ten Commandments, the last one, thou shalt not covet, which is, of course, very much related to greed, is really the mother of the other nine, because the other nine, in some way or another, there's a connection there to covetousness.
Right.
You know, thou shalt not kill. How many people kill because they want something that somebody else has?
Right.
You know, we hear of teenagers killing each other in high schools today over a pair of tennis shoes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery begins by coveting something, becoming greedy for something that somebody else has,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many times are we guilty of making silver and gold our God,
right?
You know, and it was pointed out to me that the reason that covetousness is listed last is because the other nine in some form or fashion are connected to covetousness, not to mention the fact that the first nine have to do with things that we do, whereas covetousness has to do with what we are.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it flows from the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been some great challenging stuff. Once again, to follow up on our message from actually not that long ago, six hours ago.
Right.
And so hopefully on this Tuesday night, you're able to really just investigate again and really open your mind and your heart once again to what God's speaking to your heart about. So,
amen.
We love you so much, church, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday.